But so you don't think that I am making some things up? I spent a couple of dollars to order some of these books for knowledge's sake. Are the sacraments of the church doing any good to anybody? What a question, huh? What are you supposed to assume? Are the sacraments of the church helping anyone? 1974. And he says in this book that the abuse of the sacraments, meaning that we should... At one point he says that, okay, I accept infant baptism, but it's not really good because some of these kids, they don't know what happened to them, and when they grow up, they have no clue. And there's some truth to that, because the anadokos, and again, if we baptize children, we have to know. And if we are not going to do this, then do not baptize children. If you baptize a child, you are promising to God that you will stay right next to this child to teach them the faith. And because we don't do this, that's why we're in the mess that we are. And he says that it would have been better off for some of these children not to be baptized at all than to be baptized and then live in separation from God. And then he says that unless you have an experience of rebirth in the Spirit, then you have no salvation. In other words, the baptism of the Orthodox Church is not enough. When you grow up later on, you must fall down on your knees and ask God to baptize you in the Holy Spirit by saying the sinner's prayer. It's Protestant doctrine. That's all it is. It's purely Protestant. And then, of course, he wants to pull back a little bit because he does not want to invite any unnecessary persecution. So he says, true, Orthodox receive baptism and water at the moment of their trine immersion and then the baptism in the Holy Spirit. See, he changes chrismation. He calls it baptism in the Holy Spirit. Is that what chrismation is? No. He changes the very, very fiber of the church. Just like the Protestants and the Catholics, they separate Christ from the Holy Spirit. When you're baptized, you become a Christian, but you get the Holy Spirit later. You're dividing the Trinity. We are baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the Trinity, one in essence. St. John of Damascus says, through baptism, we receive the fruits of the Holy Spirit. And we do not need to wait 12 or 15 years later to have an emotional experience. Chrismation is not baptism of the Holy Spirit. Chrismation, or Holy Chrism actually, is the seal of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We receive the Holy Spirit, we're cleansed at that point. The sin of Adam is eliminated. But at this point, the sinful tendency still remains. And we need the armor of God. We need the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Patience, faith, bravery, all these gifts. We need the gifts of the Holy Spirit to preserve the purity of our baptism and to fight against the adversaries. This is the purpose of chrism. And not to separate or to give us the Holy Spirit because we didn't receive any of it during baptism. This is heresy. By the way, all through his books, the word confession to a priest does not show up, except once or twice, where he introduces the heresy of Donatism. It was a heresy during the time of Augustine the Great, where they were teaching that if a priest is not pure, if a priest is not ethical and pure, then his sacraments are not valid. Of course, Starrett Silouan teaches that even a most inexperienced and sinful confessor can help a sinner. A person must submit even to the guidance of an inexperienced and sinful confessor, for the saving grace of the Holy Spirit is at work in the sacrament of confession. Indeed, the teaching that would limit the activity of the Holy Spirit by linking the validity of sacraments and spiritual guidance to the spirituality or holiness of the priest is a modern form of Donatism, a heresy condemned by the Church in the 4th century. So Stefano and Archimandrite of our Orthodox Church, because at this point he has not been cut off, is still a priest of our Church. When he teaches that the Church is devoid of the Holy Spirit, that means that the priests have no Holy Spirit to save any of us. And then he talks again about sacraments. Sacraments exercise a beneficial virtue. In other words, they're quite a happy pill. It's just like something of help. Only insofar as we have knelt down and abandoned ourselves to Christ. In other words, unless we do that, you know, these sacraments are of no use. It would be bold to say that the sacraments are not doing anything for Orthodox. But I want to put it in those words in order to press home to the reader an important point. And he goes on to say that, you know, if we are not serious about our faith and if we have a lot of sins, we should not go to Holy Communion, and we agree with that. And here again he says, most pastors have been very cooperative with me, meaning Orthodox priests. They have been very cooperative with me when it comes to altar calls. Some clergy and lady may scorn this as a totally Protestant practice that has no place in the Orthodox Church. But I believe, see, he became an authority now because he feels that he is the answer to revival. He thinks his calling is to revive the dying Orthodox Church. Without realizing it, by the delusion of the devil, he's calling himself the new Messiah of the Orthodox Church. And he says that, I believe, forget what the Church Fathers are teaching for the last 2,000 years. And he scorns just about all of them, except Simeon, the new theologian, because Simeon talks about the Holy Spirit. And he tragically abuses the writings of Simeon, the new theologian. But he says, I believe if we begin to use some unorthodox methods, we might make our people more orthodox. More Christian. Fanaticism. To equate Protestantism with absolute falsehood and error. In other words, we should go in there and study everything that the Protestants have to offer us, and we have to, if they have a couple of good things, we should take those. But I bet you, if we look through the writings of the witches, of Wicca, and the Satanic Bible, we will find a great number of truths. I strongly urge all pastors to conduct altar calls from time to time. And if it is to be tried for the first time, it would be most appropriate during the Lenten season, perhaps just before Holy Week or at the beginning of Lent. He's rewriting the gospel. By the way, we do not need altar calls. We need holy confession. But you see, in those days, holy confession was pushed aside. It was totally ignored. And here he comes now. I have no intention of knocking tradition. He destroys just about every doctrine of the church, and now he has no intention of knocking tradition. No, he has no intention of knocking. He just wants to change 90% of it. He has no intention of knocking it. What else do these Pentecostals and Charismatics teach? That every disease can be healed by prayer. And because Orthodox people do not have strong faith, that's why they have diseases. They teach that Christians do not get sick. You can find among the people of God chronic and fatal diseases like cancer, strokes, heart ailments, and arthritis, because there are those who have not discerned the Lord's body. People that were not prepared well enough to take Holy Communion. And again, he abuses this verse of St. Paul. Why? Because St. Paul was always sick himself. St. Paul had constant illnesses. He had a thorn on his side. And he tells to the Galatians that you did not despise my horrible illness. You loved me even while terribly sick. A lot of our church holy fathers in the last 15, 20 years that passed away, they had cancer. But they teach that if you're a true Christian, you have dominion over illness. And when did he learn this? From one of the greatest Protestant theologians. And I quote, this Protestant writer, Gordon Lindsay, wrote a book, and this book, it says, the real reason why Christians are sick. And this Protestant theologian writes, Christians are sick simply because they do not discern the Lord's body. As members of his body, neither sickness nor sin should have any dominion over us than it had over the body of Christ. Such theology, huh? Theology. Listen to this theology. And Father Stefano agrees. He says, no Orthodox theologian could have expressed this any more forcefully. You see? Not even Simeon, the new theologian. No Orthodox theologian can write this kind of garbage. Because that's what it is. So if you're a Christian, sin has no dominion over you. Once you're a Christian, you know, you cannot sin anymore. Because supposedly we have the body of Christ. See, he says that as members of his body, neither sickness nor sin should have any dominion over us. In other words, just because the body of Christ did not get sick, we should not get sick. Well, we have to remind this brilliant non-Orthodox theologian that Christ was also God. I don't know if he knows that or not, but Christ has two natures, the divine and the human, number one. Number two, Christ is the new Adam. The new Adam. And was the new Adam, death has no dominion over the new Adam, because death and sickness is the result of the fall and the fallen nature of Adam. We do not have the nature of Adam before the fall. We have the fallen nature of Adam. So as Christians, we will sin, because no one is without sin, only God. And even when we're baptized and we struggle every day, the tendencies of the fallen nature remain. But the problem with Protestantism is they key on a couple verses of the Bible, and that's it. They ignore the rest of the doctrine of the church. I got a call from a lady from Chicago. Was very upset when Stefano wrote in his book that Christians should not get sick, and she had a very hard time with this because she feels that she's a Christian and she's suffering from cancer. It's a very, very heavy weight to put on somebody and tell them, if you were a true Christian, you would not be sick. It's horrible. He continues to say that the sacraments have been turned into a substitute for Christ. Again, he separates Christ from the sacraments. And here, he invokes the holy canons. And he says, restrictions as laid down both in Scripture and the holy canons must be restored. And we should excommunicate people very quickly who are not living the right way. We should not allow them in the church. The canonical discipline of the church must be restored at all costs in order that those who violate the moral and spiritual standards of the gospel. So here he excommunicates himself. It's amazing. He just excommunicated himself by his own word, by his own writing. Christ says, by your own word I shall judge you. He says, the canonical discipline of the church. He has destroyed every possible church canon about heresy and about praying. And he doesn't do this just with the Orthodox. He's very free to go with the other Pentecostals. He goes to Jerusalem with Pat Robertson, and they heal people together. You know, he's everywhere. So the canonical discipline of the church must be restored at all costs in order that those who violate the moral and spiritual standards of the gospel and the canons might be duly severed from the body of the church. See, here's a champion of Orthodoxy. He wants the holy canons for other people. Those who have no disposition to observe the precepts of Christ and to follow him as disciples should be helped in finding their way out of the church. So unless we should go in front of the church and ask all our people, do you want to be a disciple of Christ? If not, out you go. Well, thank God that our mother church did not do this, because I certainly wouldn't be standing here right now speaking, and maybe a number of you, because none of us knew how to stand, and we went to church habitually. But we don't know when the grace of God will touch that person through that time. No, we do not close our doors on people because of sins. We have to instruct them, teach them, have catechism, illumine them. But we do not close the doors because that goes against the parables of Christ. It goes against the gospel. The disciples asked in the parable of the weeds. A man went at nighttime and he planted a lot of weeds along with the wheat. In the morning, the servants asked Christ, or the master, Lord, what should we do? Should we pull out the weeds right now? No. No, because you're going to pull out the wheat as well. Let them there and we'll take care of them at the end of time. Well, some people who might be weeds today, they can be the St. Augustines of the church tomorrow. They can be St. Mary the Egyptian of tomorrow. So no, we are not going to throw everybody out of the church unless they promise to be disciples of Christ. Again, the entire doctrine of the Pentecostals revolves around this baptism of the Holy Spirit. And Stefano teaches that this takes place in all denominations. All denominations, and not just the Orthodox Church. And the Orthodox Church, unless it wakes up with his help and the help of the charismatics, the Orthodox Church will be left behind. Christ will leave the church. And he says, to distrust the charismatic revival when it is making live Orthodox out of dead ones. He is calling those who fell to heresy, he calls them live Orthodox. It's the height of foolishness. I just want to touch a little bit on something else that you, the young people, may run into, and you may want to try to understand this a little bit because you'll run into this into colleges. This very thing that the Protestants call assurance of salvation. And here, he shows his monastic spirit. He says, salvation is a gift. We cannot earn it with our good works. It does not come with agonizing. Christ became sin and curse for us so that we might be found righteous before God. And here he unleashes all his poison against the heroes of our faith, the desert fathers. He's talking about St. John of the Ladder, St. Anthony, and the rest of the desert fathers, because he says, unfortunately, to read some of the desert Nyptic fathers, Philokalia he's talking about, is to get the impression that you're saved by toiling all your life and you never really know if you are saved. Sometimes their spirituality becomes so morbid that you feel you want to commit suicide after reading them. Of course, if you're looking for a quick time of salvation, once and done, yes. So you want to commit suicide if you read Philokalia. Yeah. Great advice from an Orthodox archimandrite. But then he says, thank God for Saint Simeon, the new theologian. The only one out of millions of Orthodox saints. Thank God, because only Simeon, the new theologian, really knew what he was talking about. This illustrious, spirit-filled church father teaches us as follows regarding salvation. And he misinterprets some writings of Saint Simeon. And then he says, since salvation is effected in the believers, not by the works of the law, that no one might boast, according to the divine apostle, works are not necessary. Did you hear this? Does the divine apostle say that works are not necessary? And then he explains, talks about St. Paul now, that St. Paul says that works are not necessary. And then he continues, I mean fastings and vigils, or rigors and hunger and thirst. Indeed, I'm emboldened to say, neither fasting, neither fastening the body with irons, he's talking about the chains of St. John the Chrysostom, nor afflicting it with hairy skins is necessary, he's talking about St. Basil. Such things are nothing at all, since even many criminals and those who are poverty-stricken suffer these rigors, but still remain the same people and do not free themselves from evil. And here he says, we do not please our Father by telling him, well, I don't know, Lord, if you'll receive me into heaven when I die. I'm so unworthy. I'll keep trying, and if it pleases you, receive me. But I keep struggling and guessing in the meantime. He says this is the work of the devil, to doubt our salvation and not be certain and sure that we're going to heaven. By the way, do you know what Father Porfirios was saying? Speaking, he says, I'm going to go to heaven, and Christ is going to tell me, what are you doing here, you sinner? And he says, I'm going to tell him, Lord, I'm here. I don't know how I got here, but you put me where you want. Okay. You see. And Stefano says, that's totally wrong thinking. He gets this from the Protestant doctrine of assurance of salvation. Once saved, always saved. He says, how can you delight in God so long as you feel only anxiety and fear concerning your salvation? And he says, don't be anxious, because you're saved already. You have been saved. Salvation comes with receiving Jesus as your personal Savior. A believer who lives a victorious life is one who not only knows with assurance he's saved, but confesses his victory and salvation by saying, through the blood of Jesus, I'm redeemed out of the hand of the devil. And if that's not Oral Roberts, I don't know what it is. And now, see, he wants to also appease the Orthodox, because he knows the Orthodox theology. Remember, he was an Orthodox theologian. And after writing pages upon pages about assurance of salvation, how we are not supposed to fear that we have salvation, and, you know, we can be secure. Now he says, now, of course, we can lose our salvation by backsliding and slipping into disobedience. It's like, it's amazing. But you're saying all along that we are secure, we are sure, we're going to heaven. And that's why we tremble, because tomorrow I can slip. That's why, as Orthodox, we work our salvation with fear and trembling, according to St. Paul. We don't know what's going to happen at the last minute. Giants have fallen after 40 and 50 years of monasticism. But how can you possibly be blessed and happy? How can you be happy unless you know at the present time that you are saved? You see, if you're doubting your salvation, then you cannot be happy. Strange theology. That's why we have Harmolipi in the Orthodox Church. We have the Makaria Elpida. We have the Blessed Hope. As St. Paul writes to Titus, I believe. The blessed hope. We trust in God. but we don't trust in ourselves. We don't trust in our passions. Tomorrow I can fall. Yeranda Yosef, at the time of his death, after all these years of struggle, at that last moment, the devil comes and begins to throw doubts. And Yeranda Yosef is crying and he's saying, I don't know, my children, if all these things, how do I know if all these toils are pleasing to God? How do I know if I please my God? And Father Ephraim was standing nearby at his dying moment. He said, Yeranda, don't worry, don't worry. We'll pray and you'll leave. Don't worry. So here, in Protestantism, you don't need that. You have assurance of salvation. Now, how do they come up with that? This doctrine of assurance of salvation. And because I've heard this in the United States by a number of Orthodox, because they have taught these things to them, especially below the Bible Belt. It's amazing what's going on there. Absolutely amazing. In Ephesians, the Epistle to the Ephesians 1:13, St. Paul says that we were sealed with a promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of His glory. I was sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance. So you see, it's very simple. It says that our inheritance is guaranteed because we were sealed. We're Christians and we have this guarantee. Well, do you know what the Greek word is? Do you know what the Greek word is for guarantee? Arabonas. Arabonas. But you see what the Protestants are doing? When they translate the original Greek, they change their words to fit their theology. They even change entire pronouns. Instead of we, they put us. I've caught them a number of times. So here we have a guarantee. But that's not what the Greek says. What does aravona mean? What does the nepheo do when he gives a ring to the bride? What's the aravona? It's a pledge. It's a pledge. Now, what if the bride, in the meantime, goes around and does a number of things, falls into all kinds of sexual sins? Is the groom going to take this bride? Certainly not. We have the parable of the 10 virgins, the 5 wise and the 5 foolish. They were all virgins. They were all expecting the bridegroom. The 5 were wise. They kept their mind on the bridegroom. The other 5, they went out shopping. Okay. But you can look that parable up. Okay. They went to look for oil. And the bridegroom came, and they were not around, and they did not find him. So, the seal of the Spirit, when we are sealed with the Holy Spirit, it's a pledge that if we continue in the life of the Holy Spirit, then we will claim our inheritance. Just like somebody can give us an airplane ticket, and we're supposed to get somewhere to receive an inheritance. They pay for the ticket. But we have to present ourselves at a certain time, a certain place to claim this reward. Now, if along the way to the airport, if we stop to see a few buddies, play a few cards, talk about things, have a couple of drinks, we will most likely miss the plane. And we'll have a free ticket in our hand, but it will not do us any good. So there's no such thing as assurance of salvation. Christ assures salvation for everyone. There's general assurance of salvation, meaning that salvation is available and open for everyone who comes in and is betrothed. Τον αραβώνα του πνεύματος. But after that, he must live the life of the Spirit to be able to claim the reward. And as Marcus, Saint Mark the Athenian says, we don't pay for our salvation. We don't pay for our baptism by good works. We do the good works to protect the purity of our baptism. By the way, when Stefano here speaks about works of the law, he's speaking about the Old Testament. When he says we are not saved by works of the law, he's talking to the Jews that, listen, you no longer need to be circumcised, but we need works of faith. We need works of faith. We have to energize our faith by works of love, because the cross-section of all the commandments is love God and your neighbor as yourself. We pray and wish for everyone to have a blessed Triodion season. And I don't know if it's appropriate yet, if can say a Kalo Pascha as well, or is it too early for that? Okay. Kali Sarakosti. Any questions up to this point? Must add, yes, let me just make one addition, that the Synod of Bishops of the Greek Orthodox Archdiocese, and we have to mention what is fair, we need to mention this, the Synod of Bishops of the Greek Orthodox Archdiocese of North and South America and the Sobor of the Ukrainian Orthodox Church of Canada have also condemned the charismatic movement.
Κύριε Ιησού Χριστέ ο Θεός ημών ελέησον και σώσον ημάς. Αμήν. And if I could just say one last little word before we close again. I'd just like to remind everyone else that on March the 12th we have the videotaped series by Father George Calcio. And I strongly urge all of you to come. It's an excellent series. And actually, it's especially important because these are lectures by somebody who suffered a lot for his faith in Orthodox Christianity, which a lot of times we don't do here in North America. And, of course, anyone who tries to struggle and follow the way of Christ is going to find temptations. And this is a person who suffered temptations to a level that we don't normally get to see, because he lived in communist Romania, he was taken to prison, he was even beaten, tortured, etc. And it helps that if we learn from his experience, that we can pick up something that we can use inside of his life. And again, I strongly recommend it. It's absolutely excellent. Also, coming up on Sunday, the 5th of March, 5 p.m., there's going to be a spiritual dinner with a homily that night at 30 Thorncliffe Park Drive at the Greek community, St. Demetrios, over just nearby here in Toronto. And so this is being hosted by Megas Athanasios. Okay. And I think that covers pretty much everything. Again, Thursday night, 7 to 9 p.m. Everybody have a good night and safe drive home. Actually, and everyone, I think it's all fair that we thank Mr. Constantine Zalalis tonight for being here and for being able to give us a little bit of a boost, a little bit of spiritual help in our struggles. So, κύριε Ζαλάλα, ευχαριστούμε. Ο Θεός να σας δώσει δύναμη και να μας αξιώσει όλους μας να μείνουμε κοντά στο Θεό.
Καλό να εγώ. Ευχαριστώ πολύ.